Hi guys, it's good to see you. We're busy with the sermon series on belonging. I was realizing, and there's a couple of visitors, I'll quickly just bring us up to speed. I was realizing just as I've lost my mom and dad, my mom as close back as a year and a half ago, I just realized, man, I miss home. I miss a cup of coffee of my own mother, or just to go back and call this place home, even though it's not perfect, even though it's not always easy. I just miss the Marty Brady, and I just miss her coffee and somebody and somewhere where I can just be myself, where I can rest, have peace kind of, because her house was very busy. Lots of clutter, like she was a bit arty, but too arty for my liking. But anyway, where I close my eyes, I can just have a bit of peace there. And so I realized, man, in the process, I'm longing to belong again. God took me to Scripture, convicted me through Jesus, and said, how did Jesus belong? We've got surfers, we've got bikers, we've got the cool kids and the almost as cool kids. And life is just being like that forever and a day. Everybody just wants to belong. But Jesus belonged in a different way. He belonged eternally. His home was not of this earth. His home was in heaven one day, and he was just missioning through. And so he's calling us as his disciples to say, hey, home is not a plicky but he's here. It's not this stunning penthouse that you always dreamt of. No, home is one day when you return to God, but let's get this mission done and let's go home when the time is right. And likewise, he said, whose family? Family are those who do the will of God. And so I was just convicted. We looked at a couple of things, and last week, Dear Beer did a brilliant sermon on the family business. Who of you guys can honestly say, I've been busy with the family business, God's family business this week? Like, what's this new character? It's Minyoki. But we all want to say that we're busy with the family business. But here's the beautiful thing. We're not here to hear what we're not doing. We're here to say, Lord, if I'm not thinking about home, belonging, and family, or if I'm not thinking about the things of the kingdom the way you do, please change me on the inside. Let's not play religion. Let's not try to tick boxes, impress other people, or try to impress God. It wouldn't work because it's old covenantal law style. But we say, Lord, thank you for your Spirit. Help us. And so that's where we're going to move on tonight, because I believe it's the goodness of God that wants to come and again show us something. Let's quickly pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, thank you for empowerment. Thank you, God, for time in your presence. Thank you that you speak to us as God's children. Thank you, Lord, that we ask and petition for full freedom, the fullness of Jesus Christ, and the type of life and lifestyle we see in the Bible, not in culture or subculture. We say, here we are. We need help. If that's you, just say in your heart, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, because I want to belong like you have showed us in the Word. I want to have contentment and peace and family like you've shown me. Because I will be yours forever, for eternity, as we sung earlier. Lord, have your way. Have your way. And Holy Spirit, keep on ministering to us, please. Keep on ministering to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And so Jesus' way of looking at belonging, family, and all of these things are upside down, in fact. It's different than what the Afrikaners used to do, or probably still do here and there. And so we looked at a couple of things. We looked at home. Then we looked at family, but there's one we didn't touch on, and that is rest or peace. You can go to the next slide. Thanks. The one after. Thank you. And so that one there with the amazing illustrations that I did myself is, dankie Demi, is to rest. Yes. I didn't rest in doing all of this. But the one thing is that we need a place to rest. Who's sensed some real rest this last week? Who's had to fight for rest? Who lost the battle? And so we daily need to fight for rest and peace. It's not easy. Christ said, in this world you will have trouble, tribulation. You will suffer, in fact. But take heart, I've overcome. And we also know that Jesus is who? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And so today we just quickly want to open up belonging a bit more, looking at what rest is. Where is my heart settled? Where do I have peace? Now, if you look at the definition in the Hebrew, it is shalom. And shalom can also then mean wholeness and completeness. Who of you can honestly say, I am whole and complete? And it's not just pride talking or arrogance or Facebook. It's honesty. Because we all look pretty complete on Facebook, unless we're a bit honest now and again. But the Lord says, now I want to give you a wholeness and a completeness on your inside. That is not only one day that is here, that when you belong, and you know who you are, you know whose you are, that for the first time maybe your soul can be at peace. Some of us have been battling for peace. And the battle is not on our outside, the battle has been being on our inside. And Jesus says, I'm the answer. Let me reveal to you, let me help you so that in me you can have peace and rest. Now true belonging gives peace, shalom, and rest. Now, what builds it up and what breaks it down? Who wants to know? Great, thanks. I'm glad that Demi does want to know. So let's move on, Demi, me and you. We're going to look at the quick principle that we're laying a foundation for tonight's as quick message. And that is the principle that we get out of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews, book written referring to Israel, God's people, who know that they were set free out of captivity in Egypt, going to the promised land. Who knows that? Yes, hallelujah. So, how long did that journey take them? 40 years. That's crazy. How long could it have taken them? 11 days. Who wants to take 40 years to the promised land of rest? Who wants to take 11 days? I'm going to ask that again because you can start doing the math in your own life where you're seeking rest, where you're seeking peace. Who wants to take 40 plus years to get to rest? Who wants to take 11 days? That's a mooi song. Hebrews 3, 12 to 13 says, watch out, brothers, so that there won't be in you, any of you, an evil, unbelieving heart. Who has an evil, unbelieving heart? Whoa. That was a rhetorische vraag. That was the one you shouldn't have put your hand up. I'm joking. It's good. We all do have that. Because I often laugh at the Israelites thinking, how could you? And then I just do the math in my own situation. I'm like, I'm in the desert. It's been 40 years. And I realize, man, I've stepped into the same unbelieving heart. An unbelieving heart that departs from the living God. But encourage each other daily. Is it today daily? Yes, it is. So I'm encouraging you while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. Look to your neighbor and say, don't be hardened by sin's deception. Sound convincing. You might as well have said, I want you to die in the desert. No, no, no. I said, tell them, hey brother, hey sister, whilst it's still called today, don't be hardened by sin's deception, because it's going to rob you of rest and it will inevitably rob you of your life. It just squeezes the spirit out of you. It squeezes your soul till it takes your whole life. And you never find rest. Hebrews 3, 17 to 19, just a bit later. Remember, this is a picture. We're taking a principle out of it for us tonight as a foundation quickly. And who was he provoked with for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And who did he swear to that they would not enter his rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. What robs us of rest and peace? Unbelief. Now let's, as Nick said, the flip side of the coin. What would be the other part? What will lead us to rest and peace in our promised land? It's not difficult. Yes, mooi. Mooi, mooi, mooi. 50 randjies vir jou. Faith. Faith will lead you to rest. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. In other words, you're facing a storm. You have no idea where to turn until God speaks and says, hey, it's going to be okay. I'm with you. Hey, when scripture comes, because you've been been in the Word. You've listened to Nick's offering message and you are in the Word daily. You know what the promises of God is. And so you're in the Word, and so your faith is strong. And what happens when your faith is strong? Your soul can rest. You can be at ease. And so this principle is important for us as humans because we do so much. We run around so much. We fight so many battles because we just desperately want peace. But often we fight the wrong battles. We fight with an unbelieving heart just for more unbelief that actually robs us of peace. But anyway, I can't stay too long on this principle. Just remember that we need to be full of faith, and then we will rest as we belong. Faith and rest go hand in hand in the kingdom of God. And so we're moving on to what I believe the Lord wants to say to us in this belonging series. And it is part and partial. It goes hand in hand, rather, with what DB shared on slaves and sons last week. Adoption rest or orphan restlessness? I want to ask you, do you want adoption rest? Now you need to listen up. Are you with me? Do you want adoption rest or do you want orphan restlessness? And what do you have at the moment? Do you have an adoption rest? The adoption rest of your soul. The adoption rest of your heart. The adoption rest of your future and your family. The adoption rest of your finance. The adoption rest of your wealth and health. Or do you have a restless heart of an orphan? Now I'm quickly going to just throw a disclaimer in here. Orphan per se as definition is not a derogatory term. In fact, it's for somebody that really desperately needs help. That is what an orphan is, okay? But for the sake of my sermon, please listen. For the sake of my sermon, when we refer to orphan tonight, or an orphan heart, or an orphan mindset, or orphan thinking, it is going to be negative. Because we are trusting that the Lord will help us not to think orphan-like. But the word orphan is not a bad thing. Are you hearing me out? I don't want anybody. I know Pity, he's an orphan, and he's a really nice guy. I'm not talking about pity or a natural orphan. I'm talking about a mindset in a biblical context. Amen. Great. I just had to throw that in there. Today's key is, in other words, sons rest well in God because they belong. Sons rest well, sons and daughters, in other words, children of God. Children of God rest well in God because they belong. But orphan hearts is restless and cannot enter God's rest. Orphan hearts is restless and cannot enter God's rest. Do you believe me? You can disagree, because I will show you in Scripture that it to be true. Let's go on with Romans 8, where we've left off 2 weeks ago. All those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testified together with our spirit that we are God's children. Who of you in this place believe in Jesus Christ? He's died for you, He's risen. Yes. So, John 7:39 says that you have now received what? The Holy Spirit, being the Spirit of adoption. Now this you may answer, it's not a rhetorical question and it's not a joke. But I want us to have a convicting moment. Who has the Spirit of adoption in this place? Apparently, I need to do the math again. Who in this place believes in Jesus Christ? By the way, why am I doing this? To see if everybody's awake? Yes, that's the first reason. Second reason, because it's in fact, necessary sometimes. But the second reason is, I do this because the enemy asks this of you daily. He is at you daily. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And if you think you kind of know who you are, then he's, did God really say, did God really say, did God really say? You are in an identity war. You are in an eternal war. And I said this in love. Nah, Livy. Who believes in Jesus? Hallelujah. So you have the spirit of adoption. Because it's important to know that I have the spirit of adoption. Verse 17, and if children also heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That is incredible, as we heard last week. Seeing that we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So the spirit of adoption, it's just another word for the Holy Spirit. Everybody who believes in Jesus receives the Holy Spirit, and he is also called the spirit of sonship. So how did this work? Just quickly, again, foundationally, big picture. Sin and death entered into the world. Brokenness came about. In other words, we have a planet full of orphans. If you look around, if you drive through the shops, I don't care how rich a person is, how many cool buddies they have, how many likes they have on social media. I don't care if they got an empire, but every single person, because sin entered into this world, and there was a brokenness, a divide between us and God, the good and perfect Father, everybody was left as orphans. What happened then? Jesus came. Hallelujah. Jesus came. The first son and seed to bring what? Adoption. And so he laid down his life, and you know. So the gospel, the good news is in fact what? The gospel of adoption. Look to your neighbor and say, what? The gospel of adoption. No, this is not an American church. This is a guy just that wants to make a point. God bless all American churches. But it's the gospel of adoption. And so now you're like, okay, where are we going with this? What's the problem? Here's the problem. We all have said, I believe in Jesus. We all have said, I have the spirit of adoption. We all know now that we are children of God. Scripture says so. And we've got the spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. So what is the problem? The problem is this. We are children of God. We are adopted, but we often think like orphans. We are something, but we're still thinking in a different way. Who knows that if you are a son of God, you have the spirit of adoption, but you constantly think like an orphan, how are you going to live? Fighting, yes, fighting. Absolutely, that's one of the fruit. If I think like an orphan, even though I am a son of God, even though I am a child of God, but I think like an orphan, what am I going to act like? Heidi Baker says, and I say this with grace, she says that in Mozambique, they take in the children off the streets and they foster them, they adopt them. It's just like literally thousands over time. But they will come in and they will see their soap and they will steal the soap and steal the food and they'll run off again. And then she'll go find them again off the streets, the same kids, bring them in. And guess what? They will steal the soap, they will steal the food, and they will run off again. And then she'll go out and she'll go find them. She'll bring them back in. This might be one and two of us. This might be the way we think sometimes. She goes and fetches them until they, after how many times, start really realizing that there's going to be soap again. There's going to be food again. You see, it's one thing to, by faith, know that I'm a son and a daughter of God, but not live it, but think like an orphan. Because I'm going to take what I can and I'm going to run because I need to fight for myself. Because nobody else did. I can't know where I can belong and where I can trust. So I'll fight and I'll steal and I'll run. And then Jesus comes back. He says, come back to the good Father. You're adopted. You're just thinking. You're not thinking straight. And so maybe there's conviction here tonight. And the Lord wanting us to realize that yes, we know this scripture to be true. But we're thinking and acting in a different way. We have the spirit of adoption, but often we still think like orphans, as if without covering care or peace. Amen! Think childlike. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you, do you walk by the spirit of adoption in belonging? And can your heart rest daily? I'm not questioning that you have the Holy Spirit. It doesn't switch the Holy Spirit on and off. Did I have the Holy Spirit? No, I don't. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the spirit of sonship. You have been bought with a price. But it's here that the battle lies. Do we have a restless heart that needs to fight for itself? And that orphan thinking. Now, you'll hear the term, this I'll do in 1 minute, question me later. But you'll often hear, who's heard of the orphan spirit? Amen. Okay. Now, I don't want to knock that too hard. But what I read in the Word, I read the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit. I don't read of a spirit or orphan spirit in the Word. In other words, if it was just a mere demon, we can drive it out. And tomorrow we'll be thinking straight. I do, however, and if you go look at Scripture, think that, yes, we have the Lord's Spirit of sonship, but we need to think right. So when you say spirit of adoption, then we know what we're talking about. But when you say an orphan spirit, people might think it's a demon, and I don't think it's a demon. I just think it's bad thinking. All demons, by the way, is orphaned in nature, and they will minister spiritually orphan-like behavior. So, hear my heart. I'm just careful of a charismatic type of way where we say, everybody stand, and now we drive it out of the church. But tomorrow we think like orphans. Amen? So, that's just a quick disclaimer. I'm not knocking. Maybe somebody drove that out in your life and you got delivered. Praise God, it was grace. But I believe that the Lord says, yes, the demonic influence we chase away. We take authority over that. But then we renew our mind by getting into the Word, by people ministering truth to us so that we can think like sons and daughters. I hope that makes sense. Now, the second confirmation, just quickly before we're going to look at one or two things that the Lord can help us with, is John 14, another counselor promised. So, you have the spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption. We know this by now, but we say, yes, there might be places financially when it comes to helping out, when it comes to loving, when it comes to serving, when it just comes to many things, I actually don't think like a son of God. I don't act much like Jesus. And I don't rest well. I don't have peace. I often have a lack of peace. Maybe I've got a bit of an unbelieving heart. But there's help. What did Jesus promise us? Didn't Jesus promise us help? And so, tonight, if there's any moments of conviction, I don't believe the Lord wants to condemn anybody. It's just a good father saying, hey, help my nonsense to geloof. Come to me. Let me love on you again. Let me show you who you are again. Cease your labors to enter my rest. Believe what I have given for you, not what I should be giving you. Let's go to John 14. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. There it's with a capital letter. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit. So one can read there. I'm not changing Scripture. Just for the sake of tonight, in context, I'm just saying this is what we have. Give you another spirit of adoption to be with you forever. The spirit of adoption is with you what? Forever. When you feel like you suck at your work, or socially you suck, or you have no money, or you're down and out, guess what? The spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption is with you. He is the spirit of truth. The world, and there I've just put in brackets here, being orphaned. Remember, the whole world being orphaned is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be with you. Verse 18, listen up, guys. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. So he says, I give you the Holy Spirit. And in that saying, I'm not leaving you as orphans. You're not on your own. You don't have to fend for yourself. You don't have to fight for yourself. You don't have to only look out for your own well-being. You belong in my home with the Father. And then, he goes on. Make the Scripture your own, guys. Make this your own. Verse 19, in a little while the world will see me no longer, but you will see me. That's why we're here. We could have been doing what Nick's shirt says. But we're here because we're seeing Jesus. We're seeing Jesus in each other. We're looking for him. We're knocking and seeking so that we can worship and come together with him. Because I live, you will live too. Who wants to live? In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Man, that sounds like a whole lot of belonging to me. That sounds, if you came to church and you felt alone, it's a big fat lie. If you came to church feeling rejected, it's a big fat lie. You are not alone. You're adopted. You belong, and your heart and soul can rest. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and reveal myself to him. Jesus, revealed yourself to us constantly and daily through the spirit of adoption. Sounds like good news. I will not leave you as orphans. And so that was the positive. Let's quickly go to the testing part again. 1.4 there on the slides. Let's be careful for orphan thinking. Who think that they might have one or two tendencies of orphan thinking in their life? Or 77. I've been going through a list. I got this list. I've quoted the ministry there. And there's a million ways that you can look at this particular thing. But I realized, man, I've got the spirit of sonship, but there's a whole lot of orphan thinking inside of here. There's a whole lot of orphan thinking that I need to take captive and bring unto obedience to Jesus Christ. When you look at this, you'll see what I mean. Because at the end of the day, God, the good Father, wants us to have freedom. He wants us to have real rest and real belonging. You can go to the next one. We're going to do a bit of an exercise. Who loves an exercise? Yeah. Yes. Any sons of God in the house? Or daughters? Who likes a fair bit of exercise? Amen. Now, there's some stuff that might offend the flesh. Crucify the flesh. But we all need help. And I'm the first one to again quote Nick quoting me. I'm in ICU and I need the Holy Spirit's help. So just sitting there, before we do this, will you just put out your hands and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Repeat after me. Holy Spirit, help me to have sonship thinking. Thank you for the spirit of adoption. No condemnation, but help me to think biblically. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love. Amen. So, here's a nice exercise. So on the one side, you've got an orphan heart or orphan thinking. I didn't call it an orphan spirit because I don't believe that to be theologically correct. But we know all that we need to think right. We all know that we're new creations in Christ Jesus, but we don't always act like that until we start believing and walking that out. And so likewise, here we've got the heart of sonship. In other words, spirit of adoption. And on the other side, we've got orphan thinking. Don't go ahead. Please take the road with me. But the first one is pretty easy. It's the image of God. An orphan would say or see God as master or leader. And yet the son will see him as? No, I need to be careful. I actually put stickers on here. Son on this side, orphan on this side, eh? Freaking Lonnie. So the son will be thinking, because it's different on my notes, the son will be thinking father. But yet, the orphan might think master. Dependency. Who of you guys like to be dependent on the Lord? Living in faith and taking risk. And the crowd went mad. I know church is not a show, but man, you can really work on that, guys. Dependency on God. Who likes things structured and in control? Who likes spreadsheets? I hate spreadsheets. Dominique knows that. So dependency is the son acknowledges his need and his dependency and knows that he needs God. Yet the orphan heart is self-reliant and independent. Their theology, the son lives by the law of love by the Holy Spirit, the new covenant. The orphan heart and mindset will often be one that is loveless and of the law. Security. Who likes secure living? We all like a fair bit of secure living in South Africa. The son finds rest in peace in God. Yet the heart that is orphan-like and the orphan-like thinking is constantly insecure. There's a lack of peace and always ready to fight. Defend who knows what. The need for approval. Who's even had the need of approval? I always had the need for approval. And now and again, still at home. I'm now in ministry, so I always need my wife to to help me out with that one. But anyway, it's not about me today. It's about the Bible. The heart of sonship, totally accepting and accepted in God's love and justified by grace. But the approval of that of an orphan mindset is strife for praise, approval, and acceptance of man. Always worrying, what will people think? What will people think? The motive for service or serving. The orphan needs to perform. Who always needs to perform? The Lord wants to free us of that. A need for personal achievement, to impress God or people, or in fact to have no motivation to do anything whatsoever. Sounds a bit cultural to me. Anyway, but the son, the spirit of adoption, the heart that we have is service is motivated by deep gratitude for being unconditionally loved and accepted by God. You know why I love God so much? Because He's forgiven me for so much. I love God so much because He's forgiven me for mountains and mountains and mountains of yuck. And He's just washed me clean. That's the reason. That's the sonship. That's Luke 15. That's the prodigal son coming back. I'm sure he didn't come chill it out. Yes, he came to rest and belonging because he came to his senses. And then there was a big party. But do you think the next day he just chilled out, said, hey, can I have a beer and watch Netflix? I hope not. Otherwise, in Luke 16, he would have gotten a buck slaw. I would think that after what he went through and saw the grace and love of his father, he probably said, hey, where can I help with the family business? What can I do? I've been forgiven for so much. I've been loved so much by God. That is the reason for service. Motive behind Christian disciplines. One is a delight in intimacy. The other one is duty in earning God's favor. Motive for purity. I must be pure because God is watching. The other one is, no, I want to be pure because I don't want anything to steal my intimacy with God. Self-image. The orphan hates himself, self-rejection, because it's constantly comparing and judging and not at peace with him or herself. The self-image of that of a son of God is positive and Christ-like. Source of comfort. The orphan heart is seeking of counterfeit affections. So it's looking for affection, but it's counterfeit. It's stuff that will leave you more thirsty, more hungry, more dry. Fleshly addictions, compulsions and escapisms, busyness and hyper-religious activity. Please don't be busy with hyper-religious activity. Yet the son will say he seeks times of quietness and intimacy and rest with the Father and encounters with Jesus. Who's hungry for encounters with Jesus? Peer relationships. The orphan is competitive, rivalry, jealousy towards others, other success and identity and position. I said, yeah, peer relationships of an orphan is, the orphan is not a team player. He finds it, or she finds it very hard to be a team player. Yet that of a son is love, humility, and unity to value others as important. We're almost there. The handling of others' faults. What do? Man, my hypocrisy on the road is stinking. My orphan thinking on the road is stinking. I repent towards all taxis now. Judging, accusing, and the exposure of somebody else so that you can look better. Yammer Jesus. Yet the son is, the love covers, and seeks to restore others by grace and the love and the gentleness and the truth of Jesus. Is that the way that you see other people? View of authority. This is a biggie. Man, I used to work for a guy. Oh, I don't have time. See authority as a source of pain, distrustful toward them, and lack of heart and attitude of submission. Yet a son who knows who he is and loved by God, valued by God, is respectful, honoring. You see them as ministers of God and for your good. And the good of God in your life. The view of discipline. Who loves a fair bit of discipline? A son receives because he knows that's the way God also loves. Sometimes to discipline. You can read the rest. Expression of love is also very important. Some people just struggle to experience and receive love. it's always conditional? Is the way that you love conditional, or is it open and patient and affectionate as you lay your life and agendas down so that you can really express love freely because you're not scared? Sense of God's presence. This is a good one. The orphan thinking is, he is conditional and distant. Who thinks God is conditional and distant? It's an orphan mindset. Yet, the son knows that he's close and intimate. Your own condition, you can read there. Your position, you can read there for the sake of time. The vision is quite interesting. The orphan mindset will be spiritually ambitious, earnest desire for some spiritual achievement and distinction, and the willingness to strive for that, even in the flesh, a desire to be noticed. Yet the son says, I mean Jesus in any event. To daily experience God's unconditional love, acceptance, and then to be sent out just to be a representative of love. That's lacking. And then future, lastly. The orphan spirit, or the orphan mindset, orphan heart, is one that fights for what they can get and keep it to themselves and under their control. Yet the son knows that they freely receives as an heir from the Father, and freely can share that inheritance. You know, the thing with the son is, they always know that there's more. It'll be a time, capacity, finance, taking a couple of shots in the kingdom, having to lay down your life. You always know that your Father's got more and somebody's got you back. Any convictions of this list? Anybody with a conviction? Anybody with a conviction of this list? Hallelujah. So what can we do now, just in closing? Here's what we can do so that we not only know that we are sons and adopted, we can think differently by getting into the Word. Asking the Holy Spirit, like we just did, say, Holy Spirit, help me. You are the Spirit of adoption. You are the counselor. Help me to think like a son. Show me how rich I am. Show me how valued I am. Show me afresh how loved I am. And that whatever people's opinions is, it is subject to God's heart for me. And lastly, walk out with faithful sons and daughters. You're not going to think less orphan-like if you keep on hanging out only with orphans. Hang out with sons and daughters so that they can enable you to think straight. Will you stand with me? John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans. I want to say and speak and pray over every single mindset tonight here. Jesus promised, I will not leave you as orphans. And He has already given us the Spirit of adoption. Will you close your eyes with me? Jesus, when this planet, when humanity was left as a bunch of orphans, thank you that you were willing. Thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you sent us the one that would inevitably bring us all into adoption by faith with you again, God. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for laying down. And Holy Spirit, thank you for entering in and being that representative of God Himself on our inside. And now tonight, Lord, we know that there's moments, and we've run through this list, and there might be other things as well, but there's a conviction saying, hey, I know I'm a son and daughter. I know I belong scripturally and truthfully, but yet, man, my head is messed up with thinking like an orphan, Lord. And we just very simply say, Lord, maybe if you want to repent of anything that you've been convicted of, just again, raise your hand. Sorry, this feels like aerobics tonight, but just raise your hand if you've been convicted of orphan-like thinking, that we can just repent and then trust that the Holy Spirit brings change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that where you've convicted, Holy Spirit, of where we think like orphans, where we think like the world, and not like the children of God, not like the gospel, not like Jesus. Thank you that we repent tonight. Forgive us. Bring us back into your love and your truth, into your acceptance, into your belonging, and ultimately into your rest. We say thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will come and restore. Thank you that you will come and help us align our minds and our thoughts with the truth that we already carry, that we are sons and daughters of God. Thank you that you will not stop until you form Christ in all of us. If you just want to say yes to God's process as a good father, maybe just in your heart, just say yes to Him. Lord, lead me into your fullness. Thank you, Lord, that tonight we ask that our hearts will rest again. I pray that your Spirit will keep on ministering to us and to our children and our loved ones, and that this will not be a mere academical exercise, but that it will be a spiritual truth that permeates all of our life so that we can bear the fruit as sons and daughters of God, resting, belonging, and changing the nations. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.